The Business Buzz Podcast. Listen to The Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Only on Vow FM.
The time has just gone by. It is 1 minute after 6 p.m. And this is The Business Buzz right here on Vow FM 88.1. My name is Bria Mob, Justice Kawaz, and I'll be taking you until about 7 p.m. This marks our first show for the year of 2018. And we hope that all of you had a beautiful festive season and a new year and January, and you got out of that disease and now you're in February. And for everyone that's starting school at WITS, welcome. Otherwise, this is that show where we give you a roundup of the business and economics news and tell you how the world is affecting your pocket and how your pocket is affecting the world. So for today, we're going to be giving you a show that's around something that over the last 2 months has been making big news. Whether you are a business person or not, you would have to be sleeping underneath the biggest rock in the world if you did not hear about Bitcoin. And one of the things that you are hearing about Bitcoin is Bitcoin minted a lot of new millionaires in the last 2 months, and we're going to be talking about that. So we're going to be talking around the issue of cryptocurrencies and the blockchain that supports these currencies. So just out of interest, as of today, today is the 8th of February 2018, there are 1,510 1,510 cryptocurrencies online and around the world. This is according to CoinMarketCap.com. And by market capitalization, Bitcoin is currently the largest in terms of the cryptocurrencies at the moment, followed by Ethereum, Ripple, Bitcoin Cash, Cardano, and Litecoin. So that's the show for today. We're going to be having some interesting guests who are going to be in studio with us talking about these and other issues around Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Coming up also in the next few minutes, we're going to be giving you our business wrap. And for today, we've got Desiree, who is coming in from BDO, who's going to be giving us our roundup of the markets. And then for today, we're going to be giving you a new feature called the Buffalo Index. And new year, new things, and that's how we're starting it off. Otherwise, make sure you hit us up on social media. We are available on Facebook, that's Voice of WITS, or Vow FM. And then we have our own page, that's The Business Buzz. On Twitter, you can find us, that's at Vow FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. Also find us on WhatsApp, that's 084-078-4912, and you can also stream us live, that's vowfm.co.za. Podcasts of The Business Buzz Show are available on journalism.co.za. Make sure you keep it logged. This is The Business Buzz on Vow FM 88.1.
The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz, we are live right here on Vow FM 88.1. We are talking cryptocurrencies today, but before we get into all that, we have Desiree Ragibea, who is a financial planner with BDO Wealth Advisors, on the line for The Business Wrap. The Business Wrap is that part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's trending business and economics news. How are you, Desiree?
Hi, good evening, Mudiwa. I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. This is our first show for the year, and it's been about 3 months since we last heard a business rap right here on The Business Buzz. How are our markets looking at the moment in South Africa, Des?
Yeah, so I think since the last time we spoke, there's a lot been happening. And I think let's touch on the strength of the rand. Let's talk about that. When we spoke in November, the rand was trading at around, I think it was 14.20 to the dollar. And there's been just a lot of strengthening happening over the last 3 months, especially in December when it picked up, you know, with the new election of Cyril Ramaphosa as the ANC leader. So yeah, so we've seen a lot of strengthening. Currently we're trading at around I think just about 12.03 to the dollar.
Des, I think, as you mentioned just now, one of the simplest issues that people have attributed to the strengthening of the rand was Cyril Ramaphosa's election as the ANC president. But over the last couple of months, if anyone who tunes into the local news will see that there's a lot of turmoil going on politically. So what's actually been keeping the rand at this, because it's been playing around in the 1180 to sort of 1180 yeah. to 1220 sort of range. What's yeah. kept the strength mm-hmm. going despite everything else that's going on?
Yeah, so I think the main factor was definitely, you know, the new leadership, the positive investor sentiment that was coming through based on that. And one of the other drivers, I think, has been that we've been able to avert a further credit rating downgrade. I think that's played a part in the rand strength. So it's less likely that we'll have a further credit rating by one of the ratings agencies, which is Moody's. S&P and Fitch downgraded us last year to junk status. The other thing, the other factor is definitely the dollar's weakness.
Yeah.
So that's also played its part in our rand strength. Yeah.
And then I guess moving forwards, how are the markets? I think of late we've been hearing a lot about the U.S. markets. They seem to be dominating our news. What's going on with that?
Yeah, there's just so much volatility going on there. And it started off in the U.S. So we've seen U.S. stock prices fall over the last week. And I don't know whether to call it a correction, because that market's just been running away, and or has it been a market crash? But would that those falling prices was followed by other emerging markets, Asian markets, and then the JSE All Share, which was down about 7% since its January high. So from a market point of view, worldwide and locally, we've seen a correction.
And then in terms of the local markets going forward, are there any events that we should be looking out for? Because in previously, just now when we were talking about the rand, you were talking about how mm-hmm. we are expecting a ratings call in the coming months. In terms of the markets, is there anything that the market is looking at in the next maybe month or two that could impact the level of the JSE?
You know, markets like stability. So right now, in the last few days, you know, we've seen sell-offs in the market. Yesterday was a bit positive. But right now, I think it's waiting to see what's going to happen in the political sphere. So where to? And then a call will be made. A lot of it has been priced in to a certain extent, but I think we will stabilize in the next week or two once we get clarity on how we stand or how our government stands going forward.
And then I think the other thing that's happened of late, I think people that are pouring fuel at the pump would have noticed a bit of a price difference in the last couple of days. What's going on here?
Yeah, that was very welcomed, I think, by all of us. Petrol, so the price reduced by 30 cents on Tuesday midnight. That's taking us to 14.12 per litre. And yeah, one of the reasons for that was definitely the strong rand. You know, with last year, I think we had definitely more than three petrol price increases, and we really felt, you know, the brunt of that. Now with the stronger rand, it's so positive, because we've had this reduction in the petrol price. But in saying that, and depending on how the rand holds itself going forward, we must also just bear in mind that we have the budget coming up towards the end of February. And normally, you know, the Minister of Finance looks to increasing the fuel levy and the road accident fund levy. So So that also has an impact on the fuel price. Now, I know that that is quite sensitive because of the number of increases in the petrol price that we had last year. So he may not consider a huge increase, but I definitely think we have to keep that in mind. And, you know, even with the rand strength, we may find that we're not going to have another reduction in petrol price shortly.
Thank you so much for the market trip, Des.
Pleasure. Thanks, Nadira.
So that's us in terms of our business wrap. As you heard, we were talking firstly about the fact that the rand has actually strengthened quite a bit in the last couple of months, a lot of it being attributed to the change in leadership in the ANC together with the weakening of the US dollar. And then we moved on to how there's been a lot of volatility on the markets, and the JSE is actually trading 7% lower than its all-time high, which it experienced in the last 2 months. And then lastly, we spoke about the oil price and how the price of fuel actually came down this week at the pump, which was a welcome development for many motorists in South Africa. So that's it. The business wrap is done. On the other side of this, we get into the Buffalo Index.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
We're live right here on the Business Buzz. We are talking cryptocurrencies, but right now it's time for us to get into our Buffalo Index. And this is the first time that we're doing this, and basically what we're doing with our Buffalo Index is we're giving you some news about the state of your 100 Rand right now. And since we are talking cryptocurrencies, we just went out there and we did some research, and we found out how much Bitcoin, for example, can your 100 Rand get you. And if I'm going to spew out some numbers that might or might not make sense to people out there in the world, but 100 Rand today on the 8th of February 2018 will get you 0.000, that's three zeros, 0.00097917 Bitcoin. Roughly translated, that's about 1/10,000th of a Bitcoin. I don't know whether that really means anything to anyone, but that's what 100 Rand would get you. But we're also looking at what other cryptocurrencies out there, and in terms of Ethereum, which is the second biggest cryptocurrency in terms of market capitalization, we found that you've got one less zero and you're looking at 0.009 of that particular coin. But what does this mean in the real world index? If we were to compare this with other currencies that are not cryptocurrencies, 100 Rand at the moment will get you about 12 Rand, around $12. At the moment it will get you about $8.30, and it will get you 6.75 euro and about £5.91. So that's what your 100 Rand will get you. Next week we'll be dealing with numbers that are a bit more fair, but otherwise that's it in terms of the Buffalo Index for today. Tell us what you think about this. Would you spend 100 Rand on Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency? And if so, do you feel like it would be a worthy investment? Tell us what you think. On the other side of this, we get into our main topic for today. This is the Business Buzz.
Listen to the Business Buzz podcast on www.journalism.co.za.
Today we're talking cryptocurrencies on the Business Buzz, but remember that you can join in the conversation. We are available on social media. On Facebook, we are Vow FM or Voice of Vits, and we also have our own Facebook page, that's The Business Buzz. On Twitter, we're at Vow FM. Our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz, and you can find us on WhatsApp as well. That's 084-078-4912, and then you can also stream us live on vowfm.co.za. Remember as well that podcasts of the Business Buzz show will be available on journalism.co.za. So getting into it, our main topic for today, we're talking cryptocurrencies. If you don't know what a cryptocurrency is, that's what Bitcoin is, right? Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. And if I'm going to get a bit academic for a moment, a cryptocurrency is a digital asset designed to work as a medium of exchange that uses cryptography to secure its transactions, to control the creation of additional units, and to verify the transfer of assets. Cryptocurrencies are a form of digital currency, alternative currency, and virtual currency. Cryptocurrencies are also decentralized control as opposed to centralized electronic money and central banking systems. So that's it in terms of what is cryptocurrency from an academic point of view. Right now, if you were to go online and just check the market capitalization of the various cryptocurrencies out there right now, you'll find that the biggest at the moment is Bitcoin. That's valued at around $142 billion, which is roughly about 1.3 trillion. Rand about, and then Ethereum is coming in at $81 billion, and then the third is Ripple at $30 billion. So for today, we are unpacking what is cryptocurrency, what is this Bitcoin that everyone seems to be going crazy about. And for us to start with, we have Nadia Dawood, who is in studio with us from the Crypto School, which is a South African based startup that specializes in educating the general public on cryptocurrencies and the blockchain technology. Nadia is an actuarial science final year student, a computer and programming fundi with a strong understanding in the financial and tech markets. My guest in the studio today, as I said, Nadia, actually tells me that he had the inkling to buy Bitcoin at 15 years old.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my mom wasn't so keen. And at 15, you don't really have the FICA documents.
So let's start with this. In terms of cryptocurrencies, we've already given that academic definition at the start of this. How, for the normal person out there, what is cryptocurrency and how have they actually evolved over the years?
So cryptocurrency, for the layman, is basically a digital currency, yeah, another form of digital currency. If I had to break down the etymology of it, crypto coming from cryptography,
yeah,
and that is basically what secures all the transactions happening on the system.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, that's what separates cryptocurrency to traditional digital currencies, like maybe PayPal, which if we look at the evolution of digital currencies, we had PayPal, Bcash, a lot of currencies before this, but cryptocurrency is the first one that we can truly believe is secure.
And I think for us to really get into this discussion, we have to address something that is in the news quite a bit, because we know that, especially in December, we saw the price of Bitcoin skyrocketing. I think at some point it was, I think, $17,000 for one Bitcoin. And one of the things that we would love to at least debunk at the moment is, do you feel that Bitcoin is currently in a bubble?
Yes and no. The thing is, it has all the telltale signs of a bubble when the average man on the street is buying something he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
So that's what we saw in the Netherlands years ago with tulips. Guys who never understood why this value is attributed to a tulip was buying a tulip. And that's what caused the bubble. I mean, at the time, a tulip costed something like the average man's yearly salary.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Bitcoin isn't even that bad. So yeah, it has all the signs of a bubble, and if you do believe a bubble, it's a bubble. Why not short it? You know, take a short position, which is basically you borrow it and sell it at a later stage. So if it goes down, you make money.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a bit subjective.
Yeah.
But personally, I do believe it was in a bubble. It may be stabilizing now, but it's up to each individual to decide that.
Okay, so it's a depends, you know, kind of.
And regardless of whether it is or isn't a bubble, if you're looking to make money from it, if you think it's going to go down, there's still a way to make money from it.
Okay. So you're one of the co-founders of Crypto School, and you guys are in the business of actually giving lessons and workshops around the issue of cryptocurrencies and how people should be getting into the market and investing in this. Firstly, what actually brought about the decision to start the school as opposed to why teach people to trade as opposed to starting a trading firm? I don't know, what prompted you guys to do this?
Yeah, that's a question I'm not even sure the answer to. But yeah, about a year ago, a lot of people asked me, how do I invest in Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Because I mean, it was this novel thing I told my friends about. And I started getting annoyed a bit, so I uploaded a video on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
At the time, Bitcoin was around 15,000 Rand.
Yeah.
So that's kind of started my educational journey.
Yeah.
I saw that it got a lot of traction.
Yeah.
And I said, I mean, there's a lot of people that want to know how to do this, and a lot of people that's going to lose their money. Mm. Like we saw in 2008, people lost their pension money.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I guess the ethical part of me, yeah, that bit of empathy came out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, we are a profitable business, but we do teach Bitcoin, other cryptocurrencies, and the underlying technology.
Yeah.
Which is the blockchain.
Yeah. So how do you guys actually choose, or how do you structure the courses, and how do you choose what to teach, what not to teach, or how to teach it? Because I can imagine that this is a very technical subject, because not only are you dealing with issues of finance and the economy, but you're also dealing with a lot of technology and programming language and all of that stuff. How do you guys actually break it down, and how do you structure your courses?
Yeah, so we started just under a year ago, and when we first started, it was a bit difficult to know what the other people don't know, what the people we're teaching to. So we've revised our book, our course, again and again.
Yeah.
And I think we've hit the sweet spot with it, where I teach the mathematics and the science, the magic behind the technology.
Yeah.
And my partner, Riman, he teaches the markets, how to buy, how to sell, what to buy and what to sell.
Yeah.
If you look at our book in front of you there, it's mostly cartoon illustrations, so we try to teach, we make it simple enough so that anyone can understand it, whether you have a degree in economics or whether you're a housewife.
Mm.
No disrespect.
So in your teachings, what have you found to be some of the biggest misconceptions around cryptocurrencies, around Bitcoin, around the trading of cryptocurrencies, from the people that actually attend your courses and the people you're teaching? Or what are the knowledge gaps like?
The big thing is that people think that the growth is exponential.
Which
I mean, it can't be exponential and be extrapolated infinitely. So people are like, yeah, take my money and give me back more money. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. There is a risk involved. And we try to teach people the bare minimum that they need to know about the technology and other currencies so that they can invest themselves.
Mm.
I mean, it would be nice to just take people's money and give them more money back, but that's a job for a hedge fund manager. It's not what we were willing to go into.
Yeah. So do you get complaints, you know, when some people say, but I've applied what you guys said to me, but I'm not making any money, you know, what do you guys say to those types of people?
Thankfully, to date, we haven't gotten any complaints. Okay. we did, however, in our last last workshop 2 weeks ago, we displayed one of the arbitrage models we were working on.
Yeah.
And the company liked it so much that they actually bought it from us last week, Friday.
Okay.
Arbitrage, for the listeners, if they don't know, is finding inefficiencies in markets and exploiting them.
Okay. That's actually very cool. So in terms of the workshops, when do they happen, and how big are your classes generally?
We try to keep them up to a maximum of 10 people per workshop so that it can be intimate, one-on-one. They can ask questions. It's more of a workshop, not just a lecture.
Yeah.
The next one is happening on the 17th of February. It's in Sandton City at Uprise Markets. It's on the banking floor. Typically, they happen once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, now we need to get sort of into sort of like a policy debate, because one of the things that is coming out a lot about regulation, right? Because I want to hear what you have to say. We have our next set of guests are actually trading. You know, I want to hear the different views on this particular issue about regulation, because if we're going to say that cryptocurrency, let's use Ethereum and let's use Bitcoin as an example. If we're saying that these are currencies, right?
Yeah.
Currency markets, for the most part, remain sort of an unregulated space, right? Which is why at almost any time of day, you can get a live reading of what the US dollar is to the rand, because these things don't sleep, they don't go to bed, right? People are trading sort of around the clock, right? Should we be regulating Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies to the extent that people want, if we haven't regulated normal currency markets as much?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, that they aren't regulated as intensely.
Yeah.
But there is a fair bit of regulation on normal currencies. For example, every individual gets R1 million worth of, well, rands to send overseas. That's their discretionary amount. In terms of regulation, I think that differs from each country. So we saw about a week ago, Russia said that they are considering regulating it because terrorists, well, it can be used for terrorism, which was a major issue in the early days of cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
Banks complained that, no, it's being used on the dark web and people are buying organs and hitmen, which basically halted its growth. So at the end of the day, countries need to consider the cost of regulation, as with any form of regulation. Yeah, and it differs from country to country. So if they feel that it can benefit their country, then yeah, they could regulate it. If they feel it's not worth regulating, then, I mean, leave it as a free market.
Okay. So if you're a policymaker, would you regulate the use of cryptocurrencies, or would you regulate the trading?
I do what the South African Reserve Bank is doing at the moment.
Yeah.
So they working with Lauria and Gumarov,
yeah,
to sandbox test, what's it called? A Banky Moon. That's his company. So they want to fully understand the extent of what this technology can do before they take a stance on whether to regulate it or not.
Yeah.
So likewise, I would like to see where it's going to play out and maybe from there decide whether to regulate it or not. Because regulation is a long, tedious, an expensive process.
Yeah. Okay. Lastly, at the crypto school, you say that we not only want to teach cryptocurrencies, but wish to equip people with the tools to invest wise and smart. What does this mean for you guys?
So investment is not always monetary.
Yeah.
We went to an audit firm a couple of weeks ago, and we showed them how the underlying technology can be used to trace their audit trails back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we go into a bank, we can show a bank how the blockchain can affect their business. So instead of just investing in the monetary gain, we're trying to show business how they can use this new technology to adapt their business. And I mean, in business, it's adapt or die. So the underlying technology has endless use cases.
Yeah.
And we're trying to open people's minds up to this paradigm shift. It's almost like trying to explain to people why is the internet, I mean, 20 years ago, explaining to people why the internet will change your business.
Okay. So you feel that the blockchain in itself has potential to actually disrupt a lot of the way in which we are currently operating and doing business and all of that
stuff. Yes, definitely. I always use the analogy that Bitcoin is basically the World Wide Web, where your Facebook and YouTube sit, but blockchain is the internet. It's that network.
Yeah.
So it is a major revolution for us.
Thank you so much. That was us talking to Nadir Dahoud, who is a co-founder with the Crypto School. He's just given us a bit of an understanding of how what cryptocurrencies are and how they actually operate and function. So thank you so much. Where can people find you guys if they want to get in touch with you?
They can visit our website. It's Crypto School.
Yeah.
We have an Instagram page, Facebook page.
Yeah.
YouTube, we're on all the social networks.
Okay, cool. So that's it from that side. On the other side of this, we're going to go more into, you know, sort of the actual trading of cryptocurrencies on the other side of this. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
So yes, we are talking cryptocurrencies right here on The Business Buzz. And right now we just came from giving you a bit of sort of an understanding of what cryptocurrencies are, how they actually operate, and some of the philosophy that goes into them. But right now we're sort of switching over more to the trading side of things and how people can actually get more into the actual market. And right now I'm joined in studio. I've got Tim, who is from Speckle. right?
That's great.
Tim van Rooyen, who is from Speckle. What are you guys specializing in and what do you guys do?
So we are primarily a news and information,
yeah,
and we also provide education. So our news and information is what's happening in the world of crypto and in the space of the different cryptocurrencies, what is hot and happening, and then the different, we're going to interview blockchain startups in an African context.
Yeah.
What we really want to do is bring blockchain technology to South Africa and Africa as a whole.
Yeah.
It's a new technology in Europe and America and Japan and China. It's massive. It's exploding there, and there's a lot of companies making real-world use cases of it. Not so much here. It's new. There are people who are very interested. Interesting fact, South Africa Googles Bitcoin more than any other country in the world.
Yeah.
So we really want to bring it into a South African context, find out what's happening, if there's people building applications in the space, as well as to empower people through education.
Yeah.
There's so many people asking when to buy, when to sell, too few people asking what is blockchain.
Yeah.
So we really want to empower people through educating them and providing them with the information they need to be effective traders.
Okay. Oh, I need to ask a sort of like a fundamental question before we actually get into it. You guys actually describe yourselves as being a financial tech startup specializing in all things blockchain and cryptocurrency in Africa. What actually do you think is the bedrock when it comes to cryptocurrencies and all of that stuff? Is it more the money side? Or is it more sort of the technology? Because you hear companies like Uber. Uber says that they are not a taxi company. They are not a ride-sharing company. They consider themselves to be a technology company, right? So from your point of view, when we're looking at the issue of cryptocurrencies, all of that stuff, what do you think is actually more important? Is it the finances or is it the technology?
So I'm a firm believer in the technology over the currencies.
Yeah.
I first got interested in it because I saw the tech and I was like, this is going to change the game.
Mm.
The fact that you had an imputable ledger that was timestamped, the applications were endless. I mean, you can think of voting or loans or anything that's traditional finance built on this would just be better.
Yeah.
So that's why I said that there's too many people asking when to buy and when to sell as opposed to what is blockchain.
Mm.
Following the analogy mentioned earlier, what is more valuable, the websites or that are on the internet or the internet itself?
So
I think the technology is far more valuable than the currency.
Mm.
And I think that's actually the biggest challenge and problem with the whole world of cryptocurrency at the moment is people are honestly just looking to make a quick buck.
Yeah.
If you're looking to make a quick buck, then you're going against the ethos of what it got started with.
Mm.
The person who created Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, he created it and he gave it to the world and he disappeared. I mean, do you need I say more? I mean,
yeah.
He gifted the world with this amazing technology.
Yeah.
And it's decentralized. It's meant to disempower the traditional systems of banking and governments. I mean, especially in Africa, we look at all these institutions and do we really trust them all?
Yeah.
There's a huge like judgment on all of them. And through blockchain, trust is guaranteed through maths.
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely a firm believer of the technology over the currencies.
Okay. Sorry, I just need to touch, because you keep saying these things and I keep getting interested. Do you feel like blockchain and the cryptocurrencies are sort of a proxy or how can I put this? Like an index that shows how people are not trusting formal institutions, because you've just brought up the issue of trust and how the blockchain ensures trust. Do you feel like people are investing in Bitcoin as a sign that they aren't trusting the traditional systems?
I think it's partly that, yes. So there are a lot of tech-savvy young people who are investing in Bitcoin. I think part of it is because we don't trust traditional systems. And another part of it is that we are looking for higher returns. This is where the currency comes into play.
Yeah.
Traditional means of investing, I mean, you look back at our parents, you know, get a good job, get your pension, you know, retire, and well done, you're set for life.
Mm.
Life is expensive now. People aren't buying houses, they're renting. So people are looking at alternative investment means to look at higher returns.
Mm.
So they don't trust traditional means, and they're looking at this new technology that is a global phenomenon. It's not just local, it's across all countries. So people are looking at it as an alternative,
mm.
partly trust and partly because of the returns.
Mm. coming back to the issue of cryptocurrencies, what does the actual landscape look like? Because we've already spoken a little bit about where Bitcoin started in our previous interview. But what is it looking like right now? Because we keep hearing about Bitcoin, but we know it's not the only currency out there. What does the landscape actually look like now?
Sadly, there's a lot of rubbish out there, I'll be honest with you. There are probably about 2,000 cryptocurrencies out there in the,
We actually had a number at the start of the show because we researched this. 1,510.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, so it depends on what you define. I mean, there's someone could make a token on Ethereum and it's still a cryptocurrency, but it's not listed on any exchange.
Yeah.
CoinMarketCap doesn't follow it. Mm. The landscape I would describe as you get multiple different things. You either get payment systems such as Bitcoin, or you get platforms such as Ethereum or Neo, and then you get dApps. They're decentralized applications. So what dApps are, they're applications built on the platforms. Mm. So for instance, Ethereum is the most popular one. Anything built on Ethereum is considered an ERC-20 token, and that could be any application. Like a website is built on the internet, and a dApp is built on the blockchain, and they make use of Ethereum's blockchain.
Okay. So what's been your experience like actually operating in this market with the startup? We understand that having a startup in any industry is always very challenging. But I can imagine that when you're now dealing in a complex market with a complex technology, that must be quite an interesting recipe for a young business person.
So Speckle has evolved drastically since its beginning. I mean, traditionally, like in the beginning, people kept going, can I give you money? Can I give you money? And Speckle, we wanted to be asset managers. We wanted to create a fund. Unfortunately, we realized you need an FSP for that, and we couldn't afford one, let alone have the connections to get one. So being a startup in this space has been very interesting. We've developed, that's why we turned to education, empowering people. If we can't manage people's money ourselves, let's empower them to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So, and I'm all for giving people the power in their own hands. I found this space actually amazing to have a startup in. Everyone's there willing to give a helping hand. Everyone wants to grow this space. There's not a lot of competition. You know, you could view as your previous interview and us as a competition, but I don't. I view us as going together in the greater goal of widespread blockchain adoption.
Mm.
So it's been challenging. For viewers out there, we are busy working on something other than our news and information portal.
Yeah.
To summarize it, I plan to replace banks.
Oh, wow.
So that's been quite exciting. And that's where the fintech part of our company comes from. So that's been exciting, very challenging. I have a day job as well. So to manage the time has been quite tough. But I would just say I love the community response in this world. Everyone's there willing to just help a hand. And if there are any other blockchain startups up there, give us a call. We'd love to have you on, give you an interview, promote your brand as a whole. Like I said, I'm willing to promote everything blockchain related in Africa.
Yeah.
I want it to boom here. I think it can truly change the world.
I think that's a nice segue to actually the role of cryptocurrency on the African continent or in the South African context. What does the market look like in South Africa? Are people actually starting currencies locally, or are we trading the ones that are being made overseas? And then that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, are people really responding that much to cryptocurrencies in Africa, or is all the hype sort of made up in the news?
I think it's one of the fastest growing places in the world.
Okay.
I mean, like I mentioned earlier, South Africa Googles Bitcoin more than anyone. There's definitely a high interest here.
Mm.
I think people are just very skeptical.
Yeah.
Which I think is a direct result of a misunderstanding of the technology.
Mm.
I think if you can educate people and empower them and get them to understand the true value of blockchain, they become more comfortable in investing in blockchain. Funny enough, I think Africa is the most applicable place for blockchain.
Okay.
We traditionally don't have very trustworthy governments. just going to put it out there.
Yeah.
People want new, we need the power in the people's hands.
Yeah.
That's what Africa, we need to put the power back in Africans' hands. And I think blockchain is the perfect way to do that.
Yeah.
So as for currencies, I am aware that there is one currency in South Africa, the name escapes me.
Okay.
But mostly people trade the currencies that are foreign. The biggest exchange currently is Luno. There's also Altcoin Trader and IC3X.
Mm.
Luno at one point was almost trading R1 billion a day.
Oh, wow.
So I would say it's growing. After the recent crash, it's obviously decreased quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I think in this, especially 2018, we'll see greater adoption in the country.
How do you feel about the volatility of Bitcoin? Because I think that's the one characteristic of Bitcoin that it's most famous about, the fact that it tends to go up and down. Previously, we were actually talking in the previous interview about how I think it hit a high of about, was it $17,000, $18,000? I can't remember what the actual numbers were.
$18,000, R300,000.
Yeah. And right now, today, it's sitting at around, I think it's 8.8 somewhere there, which means it's lost like 50% of its value just like that. How do you feel about trading in such a market?
So I think I'm training my heart to not have a heart attack one day, definitely. Sort of, I think if you get into crypto, you must just accept the volatility. That is, I tell people, don't invest money that you're not willing to lose. This is a volatile market. Don't be silly. You get, hear of guys taking out their home loans and putting it in crypto and then losing everything. That's like, they deserve to lose it. Don't be silly. Yeah. It is a volatile market. It's unregulated. That's a big part of why it's so volatile. I think it's just something that comes with investment. But I think it's manageable. For us, who got in there very early, it's a long, 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 long way down before we in the negative. But it's something you have to accept and manage your risk first reward. That's what investing is about.
You've just brought up the issue of regulation, and we asked our previous guest this, and I'd love to hear your take on the issue of regulation, especially just from if we're going to call this a currency, right? Should we be imposing the traditional regulations that are there? Because currency markets seem to work in two different ways. That you've got regulation that comes from the central bank, but at the same time, on an international scale, a person in Shanghai is easily able to buy a rand from South Africa and vice versa. So from those two planes, do you feel like the currency, that the cryptocurrencies should remain unregulated, or should we come in, or should policymakers come in some way?
Well, good luck to them.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. I think it's a very hard thing to regulate.
Yeah.
I think in some sense regulation would be good.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of whales, as we call them, guys with lots and lots of money out there, who are just riding the wave and manipulating the markets. And that, for me, goes against the entire ethos of what blockchain was developed for. We wanted to get away from a centralized control. We wanted to get away from banks and governments who just control the flow of money in the world. So in that sense, I think there should be regulation in controlling how much people, like, it's called pump and dumps. They pump up a coin and then they dump it, and the little man always loses it. So in that sense, I do think it's going to be regulated, and it would be a good thing. But generally speaking, no, I'm not for regulations.
Okay.
I think this is our way to develop a global economy and to join people regardless of borders. Why regulate it? We don't need a government. We don't need banks.
Last question. Do you feel that a coin like Ripple or Ethereum or Bitcoin, is that a commodity or is that a currency?
You mentioned three different commodities or currencies, so it's quite hard. I mean, certainly I think Ripple could possibly be classified as a currency if it was used for payments. Bitcoin is more of it's a store of value. Ethereum, not at all. Ethereum is a platform. Maybe Ether is local currency, I guess. It's a very fine line. I don't think, to be perfectly honest with you, you can call them either.
Okay.
They're not a commodity. They're an entirely new financial instrument.
Yeah.
It's something that money has evolved. Money has always evolved. We went from shells to gold to paper money to credit cards.
Yeah.
And we use electronic money. If we could easily get rid of paper money, we could. I mean, you have a bank balance, you go on, you see a number, right?
Yeah.
So how is it so hard to believe that you go on and you see a crypto number? It's just a number, right? Okay, it's a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But I think it's the next evolution in money.
I like that, because I think one of the biggest problems and challenges is people are still trying to figure what this thing is. And you've see it when people are trying to quote, let's say, the price of Bitcoin. They struggle to list it underneath commodities. They struggle to list it under currencies. I was actually interested because I'm Zimbabwean, so I tend to look at the price of US dollars a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was actually quite entertained because if you type Rand dollar into Google search right now, it usually brings out a currency converter. And one of the options now is Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So it's making its way into the mainstream. Where can people get in touch with you or, you know, get information from you?
Our website is speckle.co.za.
Okay.
Just repeat that, speckle.co.za. We also have a Facebook page, Speckle.
Yeah.
You can find us there. And we also have an Instagram, Speckle.
Okay.
We're working on Twitter. We're not there just yet.
Okay.
But our Facebook page, we're quite active on that. If you ever want to pose us questions, message us, find out anything, we respond quite quickly. Like I said, we really want to empower people.
Mm.
And the best way to do that is through education.
So Speckle, that's
S-P-E-C-K-L-E.
Yes.
.co.za.
Because people Speckle. Tend to have their own spellings for these things. So thank you so much. We're talking to Timothy Van Rooyen, who is the founder and CEO of Speckle, which is, as they describe, a financial tech startup that specializes in all things blockchain and cryptocurrency in Africa. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you.
So that's us. We hope that you've been entertained and educated about the issue of cryptocurrencies around the world. On the other side of this, we just round up the show. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz.
So on Twitter, we actually had Kolwane Ndlovu saying, because our question was, would you invest in Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency? And Kolwane Ndlovu said, don't do it. The risks are now too high. And the fact that it's either backed up or that it's neither backed up or tangible means you are buying nothing. So yes, thank you so much to Kolwane for tweeting us. We hope that you can just join in our conversation. For everyone else, remember that you can find us on social media. That's Vow FM or Voice of Vids on Facebook. We also have our own Facebook page. That's The Business Buzz. On Twitter, we are at Vow FM. Our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. On WhatsApp, you can find us. That's 084-078-4912. And you can stream the show live. That's vowfm.co.za. Podcasts of The Business Buzz will be available after this on journalism.co.za. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who was in studio with us. We had Nadia from Crypto School and together with Tim Van Rooyen, who was from Speckle. Both of them are in the business of cryptocurrency, and the thing that was coming through as a common theme is that everyone is in the business of trying to educate the normal person on the street about how to invest in the markets. For myself, I think Bitcoin and the rest of the cryptocurrency markets is still evolving, and I really think that it's a market to watch. I'm actually excited about platforms like Ethereum. Like what Tim was saying and what Nadia was saying, the blockchain is a very interesting technology, and I actually have a number of friends that are doing a lot of research on this. So you're going to see, as the years go by, people are going to be researching more and actually finding new and interesting use cases for blockchain technologies, especially in the way of smart contracts. So I'm very entertained by that, and I'm very interested to see where the technology goes. In terms of the currencies themselves, I think, as Tim reiterated a number of times, if you're getting into this market, you definitely need to be aware that it's volatile, and at some point you will lose money. It's not guaranteed. And something that came through from Nadia is the fact that a lot of people think that the value of Bitcoin is going to be exponential, that is just going to keep rising. And I think a lot of it comes through with the hype that was actually happening from between December and January, when we saw that high of $17,000 for one Bitcoin. On the whole, I really don't think that the volatility in Bitcoin is any different from any other currency. It's certainly much higher, but in terms of actual volatility, you'll find that currency markets are very volatile, and it's one of the most volatile markets out there, because you'll find that the prices are constantly changing, which is why the price, you can see that there'll be a different price at 1, there'll be a different price at 12, and these things are constantly changing because someone is trading in currencies all the time. If you're going to get into the market, please be careful and be prepared to lose some money at some point. Otherwise, that's it for this show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening to the show. And thank you to our executive producer, that's Alna Schutz. And our technical production is done by Kutluano Serame. From our team right here at The Business Buzz and myself, Mudia Mob Justice Gavaza, it's good evening and take care.
Listen to The Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Only on VOW FM. Listen to The Business Buzz podcast on www.journalism.co.za.